Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
Your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, rolling in hour number two, college football. We talk a little bit about the conference championship games, KUK State finishing up. How about Kansas State? And the way that they, what Skylar Thompson throw for 56 yards,
yeah.
But man, did they win that in typical K-State fashion, getting an early kickoff return, so another special team score. I mean, you got to search high and far to find a team that has been better consistently in special teams than Kansas State over the years. Virginia Tech, when Frank Beamer was there, did a lot of stuff with special teams,
blocking kicks at every turn.
I'm telling you, man. They but anyway, so K-State finishes 8-4. Kansas going the other way. I know Baylor was trying to make a point, and I appreciate that. But you can't let someone come into your house and score 61.
It's one thing to give up seven passing touchdowns. They give up seven rushing touchdowns.
Exactly.
That K-State just didn't look has like got that. A younger version of Bill Snyder as their head coach. I know it's only 12 games, but
they've chosen well.
Oh my god,
they've
gosh.
Chosen
they've
well.
Got the perfect.
They've
guy.
Chosen well. They've chosen well because it's a. And this is the thing that you've got to give them, Gene Taylor, and you've got to give these people credit for. They found the fit. So often, programs looking for coaches are looking for the next best thing, the new shiny object. And I get that. But for a program like Kansas State in Manhattan, Kansas, on the edge of the Flint Hills, an hour and a half from your nearest major airport, you got to find the right fit.
Yeah.
And they found the right fit. Chris Klieman, good fit. And I agree. It's a younger version of Bill Snyder, but you sees things maybe just a little bit differently, but has philosophically the same kind of standards and goals that drives him that Bill Snyder did. And it will work in Manhattan, Kansas. So 8-4. That team could be playing in the Alamo Bowl. They're going to play a team like Texas A&M or USC or somebody like that in the postseason.
I was just looking at Jerry Palm's bowl projections, and I think that is correct. I think that is where they're slated
to
go.
Jerry has them in what, the Alamo Bowl?
I was just there, and then I got off. Yeah. But yeah, a very solid bowl game.
Yeah, they're going to play a good team on a good stage. With a chance to move the needle even more forward on this program. Chance for 9 wins this year. Pretty impressive.
Yep.
Pretty impressive.
Can I get back to the Iron Bowl just for a second?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
First of all, Alabama's kicker, Joseph Bolivas, missed a 30-yarder to tie the game. Yeah. He's the only SEC kicker to miss multiple field goals from 30 yards or closer this season. But that's not, I don't want to pile on here. That's not why I'm bringing it up. He had the guts to write a short note / letter and put it on Twitter to apologize to Alabama fans for missing that field goal. Number one, totally unnecessary. Number two, gutsy. Love the kid for doing that. Mm-hmm. And number three, shame on us for creating an atmosphere this day and age where it's kind of necessary sometimes to apologize when you are the one of the reasons why you lose a big football game. Sad state of affairs, but I'm sure some people felt like they deserved an apology among Crimson Tide Nation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess. No, I feel you.
It's sad.
It is sad, and I agree with your first statement. Totally unnecessary.
Didn't have to do that.
And a damn shame that we live in a day and an age where you feel like you have to apologize.
Yep.
I mean, you're out there. You're a scholarship athlete. I think we all understand. You get a sense for the moment the importance of it, and you're not trying to miss it. You don't want to miss it. I mean, you know, we got it. We know when you're standing on that free throw line in a tie ball game, you know, in the Sweet 16, you know, we know you're trying to make it.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have to apologize.
Tweet out an apology, yeah.
Sure as hell shouldn't. You sure shouldn't. And it bugs the heck out of me that that's where we are.
Yeah. Now, as it pertains to Alabama's kickers overall, this stunned me. Since Nick Saban's first season at Alabama in 2007, Alabama kickers have missed 101 field goals, the most
by any
FBS team in that span. That's 8 more than any other team and 12 more than any other Power 5 team. You go back to 2011, remember that 9-6 game against LSU? They missed 4 field goals that game. I'd forgotten that. They had the kick 6. That technically goes down as a missed field goal where the Auburn kid runs it all the way back for a touchdown. And then the kid hit the upright with the game-tying attempt in yesterday's 48-45 loss. So Saban a little bit snake-bitten as far as his kickers are concerned.
How can you not have a good kicker in this day and age, especially at a place like Alabama?
Well, it reminds me of Florida State when Bobby Bowden was there. You could say the same thing then.
Yeah.
Where they had wide right two.
Right.
You know, and I think overall, those guys in Florida State were good kickers, but not so much at Alabama. So, I mean, that's kind of like how we talk about, how does LSU not have a good quarterback before Joe Burrow? How does Texas never have a good quarterback, like a pure drop back, like the best of the best at that position?
Right.
So now you can say the same about Alabama kickers. Too bad.
Yes, you can, and it hurts, but not to the point where the kid needs to make a mea culpa.
I agree.
Please stop that.
All right, two of the upcoming Power 5 Conference Championship games will be aired right here on KFH starting Friday night. The Pac-12 Championship kick at 7 here on KFH, and the Big 12 Championship.
Pretty high degree of interest in that one, Shane.
Oregon,
every
Utah.
Oklahoma fan will be watching it.
Yep.
Certainly.
Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, Oregon, and Utah. Oregon took care of Oregon State in the Civil War, and Utah pounded Colorado after a slow start. 45-15 was the score in that one. So the Beavers, with that loss against Oregon, now cannot go to a bowl. And Oregon secured their first 10-win season since 2014. Utah clinched the Pac-12 South by beating Colorado. They won back-to-back division titles for the first time since joining conference in 2011. And actually, Utah has won and covered in 8 straight games for you degenerates out there.
And they have filled the void, and this is kind of a backhanded compliment. They have filled the void left by USC and to a degree UCLA at this point. Because USC and UCLA are on a very rare... And look, USC's ranked 24th in the country and are 8-4. I mean, that's not a bad – I mean, by USC measures, not great, and it probably doesn't keep a coach's job. Mm-hmm. But Utah's done a really good job filling the void. Utah's a good football team, and I know they lost to USC.
Zach Moss wasn't playing then either.
And
I think the committee – not only realized that, but maybe took that into consideration, that they didn't have their
starting
running back.
I have no idea. I have no feel for Utah, Oregon, other than it's going to be a damn good football game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad it's on a Friday night on its own stage. I think it's kind of cool.
Right.
So let's go.
Big 12 title participants. Number 9, Baylor, beat Kansas 61-6. Face Oklahoma at 11 o'clock. Again, a game you can hear right here. Bears have won 11 games this season, matching their single-season program record. Oklahoma won Bedlam 34-16 against Oklahoma State, which again proves that you shouldn't bet. The line was 12 or 12 and a half. None of us could figure out why it was that high, because all they do is play close games, and sure enough, Oklahoma covered again.
They sure did.
Sooners have won 70 times versus Oklahoma State since 1936. That's tied for the second most wins by a team against another FBS opponent over that span. Jalen Hurts became the fifth player in Big 12 history with a passing, rushing, and receiving touchdown in that game. And he will be, without much question, the best player on the field. Oklahoma is favored by 8. I know we'll probably pick that game, and at the risk of giving it away, you love Oklahoma to just stomp Baylor Saturday
night. I like Oklahoma in this game, and I like them large. Yep.
All right.
I do.
SEC title. Number 4, Georgia, beat Georgia Tech 52-7. Although they lost their wide receiver for the first half of next week's game because he was fighting, he actually took a swing. And
against a guy wearing a helmet.
And he also tried to fling him into the barrier.
Yes.
I mean, that was nasty, those two guys.
Jeez.
DeAndre Swift left the game with an upper body injury. Kirby Smart said he should be fine for the SEC title game. Meanwhile, LSU beat Texas A&M 50-7, and Joe Burrow had 352 more passing yards, 3 more touchdowns, set the single-season record for passing yards in SEC history, and tied the single-season record for passing touchdowns with Drew Locke with 44.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Of Mizzou, of course. Yeah. Mizzou's in the SEC. And
you know, that SEC championship game is a real interesting study of LSU's offense and Georgia's defense. So you've got kind of you've got two pretty strong forces working against each other. I like that game. It's going to be a fun game. I don't know how I feel about that game yet.
We already heard from Jerry Palm, and if you missed him earlier in the show, you can go back to listen to our interview with him on the podcast. He thinks that Ohio State and LSU are locked in no matter what happens to them, and he also thinks that LSU is actually going to win the game against Georgia. But what if they don't? Not for them, but kind of for everybody else, including Georgia. Does that cement them into the fourth spot? Because they're already there.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes. It's done.
So Georgia would
lock out
Oklahoma, Baylor, Utah,
right.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's over then. Then it's just a question of how you shuffle the cards.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's a human component to that, too. I don't think you want to match two SEC teams necessarily
right.
in the semifinals. You know, But, no, I think if Georgia beats LSU, then the rest of it is kind of the rest of the argument is
by your logic, which I totally appreciate and like. If Georgia wins, they would stay right where they are, because if they're 4
yes.
right now, are they not?
Right.
So if they win, and you want to avoid them playing a rematch game against LSU, you can't you can't bump them to 3,
of course,
because LSU won't stay at 1.
Yeah, which will make absolutely no sense, because Georgia will have just beaten LSU, but will more than likely be 4. LSU would be probably 3 in that scenario, and Clemson would be 2, with Ohio State number 1. I've got no problem with that 4.
No.
I've got no problem with that 4. And I'm more than willing to listen to Utah, Oklahoma, whomever else in that final spot should Georgia fall.
My
personal sense is that if Utah beats Oklahoma, beats Oregon, I think Utah will get in. But
Assuming Georgia loses,
yes. If Georgia loses, then I think Utah is probably next in the pecking order.
Even if Oklahoma kills Baylor. See, you're the doomsday guy. You got to be. You got to think about this.
Yeah, I hear you, but you know, I mean, we've kind. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've seen Oklahoma and Baylor.
Let's riddle me this. I'll strip it down to this: Georgia loses, and Utah and Oklahoma equally kill their opponents in their respective championship games. Then who goes? Then who do you like?
Utah. I think Utah. I think when they unveil the CFP, I think Utah will be ahead of Oklahoma. And is Baylor appreciably ahead of Oregon?
In the rankings, they are.
They
and
are.
And that would have been my next question. Like, who?
But
do
appreciatively,
you,
I mean, are they so much?
Who do you think the better team is, Baylor or Oregon? Ignoring
Oregon.
The rankings, see, I probably
Oregon.
Would agree. And I think
Oregon's probably the better team.
And I think the committee, by your logic, would agree, too, that if they, Utah and Oklahoma, both thump their opponents, which, man, I can't envision Utah doing it, but let's just say they do, then it comes down to who you think is the better team that team just whooped. And
right.
The answer would be Oregon if Utah goes to the Final Four.
Utah has a better defense than Oklahoma.
I don't think there's any question about that.
To me, there's not even worth having a discussion or debate on that. Having said that, Oklahoma's offense is better. I don't know.
More explosive, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And let's face it, Baylor has been slow to motivate the committee. And just about everyone else, too. They've been pretty late to the party. And I'm not saying that that's fair, necessarily.
Right.
I mean, it's not an argument about whether that's fair, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying the eye test, Baylor's had problems passing the eye test. They've gotten there more impressively of late. But I think that probably Oregon would be viewed as a better win for Utah than Baylor will be for Oklahoma. I do think that.
We'll have to wait and see.
I think there's more value for Utah beating Oregon than Oklahoma beating Baylor. I do think that.
I do too. But if Georgia wins, it's not going to matter.
Then, yeah. It's
869-1240 is Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. Earl is with us. Hey, Earl.
Good morning, fellas.
How are
you? Oh, you know, after Chiefs decimate Raiders, always good.
Sure.
Nice.
I'm curious about these deep tongues for Utah here. I mean, they lost to USC, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You think USC and K-State line it up? USC beats K-State? I don't think so. And when Oklahoma played UCLA, they beat them 48-14, man. I mean, that's your Pac-12 representative playing against the Big 12. So
Utah beat UCLA 49-3 2 weeks ago. I mean,
yeah,
so if you're going
to
roll out Oklahoma.
So that's, I'd say that's pretty comparable,
okay.
Wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, yeah, but what do you see from Oklahoma that you would say puts them clearly ahead of Utah?
Well, I would say the fact that we play a better schedule in the Big 12 this year than they played in the Pac-12. But moreover, since you love going back to history on playoffs, Oklahoma gets in there and plays Georgia and plays these teams in the playoffs. Albeit for the first year when Clemson boat raced us. But other than that, we're in there and have legitimately entertaining competitive games. Pac-12 hasn't been in the playoffs because, frankly, they will get beat by a government mule by all those teams. And Oklahoma beat them like a government mule. And that's what I hate about this, just four teams. I mean, put six in there. By golly, losses are supposed to matter in college football, they say. Every week matters. Well, it doesn't matter if you lose and you're still in.
Well, if you're LSU and Ohio State and you lose in your championship game, I would say that's a good enough body of work that your only loss would be to the other division's champion. of the same league. I don't think Wisconsin's going to do it, but if they did, that's Wisconsin's the 10th team in the CFP. And Oklahoma has been entertaining us with CFP losses for years and years. So,
yeah.
You always have that.
Oregon, Earl. Oregon did reach the CFP. And then, didn't they play in the final? I feel back and look at that.
They lost to Auburn in the championship game to Cam Newton. I know that was before the CFP, but.
Yeah, that's right. So that's maybe what I'm thinking. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that there's much to choose from between Oklahoma and Utah. And obviously, neither does the committee. They're basically in lockstep with one another. So, we got a whole another week left, and that constitutes in this place a lot of football.
Yep,
so,
that's a long time.
Yep, absolutely. All right. So, we got some. Do we have some college hoops to get into?
Yeah. Michigan.
I think probably some college basketball to get into. We have a shocker game. We haven't had much of a chance to break down.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas has kind of an interesting week with a ranked team coming in at the end of it and an old friend coaching it. We'll discuss that, too, as we continue. Shane and Bruce rolling with you on this Monday edition. Sports Daily on the Sports Station, KFH.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.